We are delighted this evening to welcome to Sandown our brother Darren Bailey, and also his auntie Daphne. And we welcome them both warmly in the Saviour's name. Thank them for coming tonight. And we're going to ask them both to come forward now to the pulpit, and through Daphne, Darren is going to tell us of how the Lord saved him and what the Lord is doing for him. The Lord richly bless you both. Thank you.
Well, I'd just like to thank the Reverend Wilson for the invite for Darren to give his testimony. It's a great privilege for Darren to be able to share his testimony. I asked him before we came, would he want a Bible reading or anything? And he said the verse that he would like me to read is John chapter 3, verse 16. Now, it is a well-known verse and many people will know it, but it's a very special verse to Darren. And it just says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's Darren's testimony that I'm giving, so I have a few wee notes here, because he tells me what to say. I have to do it right. But Darren was born on the 16th of August, 1973. So I always say when I give out his birthday, everybody now knows what age you are. But he was born he has a twin brother, Lawson, and they were both born with physical disabilities and are profoundly deaf. Now, they live in a fishing village in Portavogie, and when the twins were born, their mother took seriously ill. So Darren's auntie Jean is here with him tonight, and she and her husband, his uncle Hugh, took Darren to live with them only for maybe a short time, but Darren is still with his auntie Jean. So Darren had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home. He was sent along to Sunday school, and from a very early age, Darren knew about the things of God. He went to school, and his teacher, Miss Beck, she would have told him Bible stories. So at a very early age, as I say, Darren knew all about the things of God. Did you like school? No, he didn't really like school, but we'll not say too much about it, only he did quite well. He was sent to London for a Child Achievement Award, so you were okay. But we'll skip the school. And after Darren left school, he got a job with the NHS, and he also learnt to drive. He got his driving test and bought a car. But sad to say, with all this, there was new independence came for Darren. He was able to go to places that, well, his auntie Jean wouldn't have really liked, and maybe the company not just as good either. But one of the things that Darren really took a liking to, and it could have brought him a long way down, but he liked the gambling. I remember one time we were all going on holiday, and we were on the boat going to England. I don't know if Darren remembers this, but we lost Ewan Lawson on the boat, and his uncle Desi said, "I think I know where he is." You remember? Yes. So his uncle Desi went, and where were Ewan Lawson? On the gaming machines, gambling away. But then it progressed, sad to say, it progressed into going to the bookies. And nearly every week, Darren would have been found in the bookies. Now, his auntie Jean tells me that you were quite good at the bookies. You would have won money. But she didn't want that money coming into the house, she said, and that it was wrong. And that her and his uncle Hugh, they were praying for you. And that they told you that that was wrong and that you needed to be saved. So on his 30th birthday, he got a Bible, and he put the Bible beside his bed, and you would have read your Bible from time to time. But he used to also ask his Auntie Jean a lot of questions, because with his Sunday school days, you knew about heaven and you knew about hell. So he would have asked his Auntie Jean all about these things. And he tells me that it was round about 2007 you started to read gospel tracts, and you would have went to church a wee bit more. But he went one night with his Auntie Jean. I do mention Auntie Jean a lot because she plays a big part in Darren's life. He went with her to the gospel hall to see your cousin's husband getting baptized. And again, he asked his Auntie Jean, how can you get to heaven? So his Auntie Jean quite simply explained the gospel to you. She told Darren that he needed to be saved, to be sorry for his sins, and he asked the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. So it was on the 2008, on the 18th of January, you got saved. And he came and he told his Auntie Jean that he had got saved. And his Auntie Jean said, but how do you know? And Darren simply said to her, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, and that meant him. And his Auntie Jean said to him, do you believe this? And he said he did. You know, there was such a change that took place in Darren's life. He no more went to the places where he used to go. He also has never been in the bookie since. I had no desire to go, and his brother Lawson used to get him a paper, and I think it was probably for the horses, but you told Lawson you didn't want the paper anymore because he was saved. Do you know, when the Lord saves you, he doesn't just leave you and that's it. The Lord, he stays with you. The Lord guides you and directs your path. And Darren wanted then, he knew that he wanted to go to church, get a church to go to. So he went with his Auntie Anna to her church. You went with your Auntie Jean to her church, but you didn't stay there. What church do you go to? Portavogie Free Presbyterian Church. And Darren is still there today. And you know, he really loves his church. And the minister at that time was the Reverend Armstrong. And the Reverend Armstrong would have printed out his sermons and gave them to Darren, so he would be helped and he wouldn't be left out. So, Reverend Wilson, if you ever need a sermon, you can see Darren. You have all the sermons. But, you know, it was a challenge to us as a family, because Darren, now this was all before the COVID, Darren would have went to church twice on a Sunday. He also went to his Bible study and prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. And remember what I said, Darren can't hear a word, and yet he wants to be in God's house with God's people. And we were saying, like, did we ever come home maybe from work? Darren worked in Newton Arch. By the time he got home to Portavogie, he got his dinner and got changed and ready for the meeting. His Auntie Jean would have said some nights, maybe in the winter time, do you not want to stay at home? And Darren said no. And have we ever made the excuse that, oh, it is a cold night, we'll stay in, or maybe with a bit of a headache or a cold coming on? And we can go with our hearing and hear the word of God being explained to us. We can be blessed through the word of God, hearing it. We can hear the lovely hymns that we're singing. That was a lovely hymn tonight that was sang. But Darren can't hear any of that. And yet more, he's there, never misses. And there sometimes, sad to say, we would maybe make an excuse. But just because Darren got saved, life began to be rosy for him. Darren has had his trials in life as well. There was a certain person who gave you a very hard time. But you know, we as a family, we were a bit cross about it. But Darren, you were praying for the person. And he told his Auntie Jean that he was saved and that God knew the truth. And you know, he was out visiting one of his aunties, and the Reverend Armstrong was there, read the scriptures. And when Darren came home, he got the Bible out to show his Auntie Jean, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And it was just simply, you know the verse, I'm sure, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And he was telling his Auntie Jean not to worry, that God was looking after him and that he cared for him. But then Darren, another sad time for Darren was that his mum died. And then just a couple of years later, he had an older brother, Rodney, and Rodney died as well. But we thank God that someday he will see them again. But the Lord has helped Darren through all this. He showed the family the great faith that he had in God. And we just thank the Lord for that. But when we were on holidays, we hope we get those days back, Darren would give his testimony. And we were in Spain one time, and his Auntie Jean just simply told one night that how the Lord saved Darren and Wayne. And there was a man in the meeting, and the church had been praying for him for years. And that night he went up into his room and he couldn't settle. And he came down the next morning and he told us that he had got saved. Also, Darren would go to different churches when he's asked. And we prayed really hard for, we were going to the Cumber Church. And we prayed really hard for that. There was just a wee thing that we wanted to make sure that this was all of God. And we really prayed hard and asked God to just to show us that this is all in his will. And he gave his testimony. And I think it was the next day that Reverend Murray texted you to say someone had got saved. Now, why I'm telling you that is it's nothing that Darren did. It's God that does the saving. But we're so thankful to God that even though Darren has difficulties, that the Lord sees fit to use Darren. And we just give him the glory for that. And again, you know, it's a challenge to us as well. Are we willing to be used of the Lord as well? But you know, his Auntie Jean, everything's for a purpose, I think. The God does direct. And we believe that God had Darren in Auntie Jean's home because Jean's husband took not well and he couldn't communicate anymore with his wife about the things of God. But Darren was able to, and Darren was, she tells me that Darren would write verses and give them to Auntie Jean and tells her to read them. So she thinks that, well, maybe Darren thinks I'm not reading my Bible enough. So he's keeping a good eye on his Auntie Jean. But you know, Darren, as I said, he really wants to serve the Lord. And he finds his own way. One of his uncles took very ill and he was in hospital and the family all went up. And Darren said to his Auntie Jean, we need to get somebody up to speak to him because he's not saved. You see, he has a real burden for souls. And one of his other uncles took terminally ill. And Darren, he would have texted his uncle every day different verses from the Bible so that he would know that his need of salvation. Again, is that not a challenge to us? We who can speak, do we take these opportunities to tell other people about the Lord Jesus? He also wanted to be baptized. He felt that this was of the Lord. And so him and his Auntie Jean and the Reverend Armstrong made arrangements for you to be baptized. But if you live in Portavogie and you're getting baptized, you go down to the sea. But you didn't go down to the sea. Where were you baptized? Yes, in the Radisson Hotel was then in Limavady. Darren was friendly with, he still is friendly with Paul Alford, and Paul kindly gave permission for you to go to the Radisson to be baptized. And you know, Paul and the Reverend Armstrong baptized him. And that was a real special day for us as a family to see Darren being baptized. Some of the family came that wasn't saved. And again, that was a great witness. You see, Darren isn't ashamed of the gospel. You're not ashamed to tell others that you love the Lord, and he does his best the way he can. He also now is on Facebook, and he'll write every day verses on Facebook, and he also prays for his family. His Auntie Jean tells me that she knows when you're up in your room that you're praying for your family and praying for other people. So he has such, his life is just a challenge for us. But then Darren brought out a wee gospel tract. And this is another way for Darren to witness. And I'm going to leave these here and the Reverend Wilson, if he can use them or if anybody wants them, I'm sure he would let them have one. We're so glad that Darren's tract was published just a few days before your daddy died. And so his daddy was able to see the tract. But we just, you know, we give God the glory for saving Darren. And we just thank for the life that Darren shows us as well. But he always wants to say that should there be one listening here, it's strange speaking to an empty church. Nobody's here. And it is really strange. But we know there's people out there. And Darren's prayer would be that if you're out there tonight and you're not saved, your heart's desire is for someone to be saved. Do you know the Christian life is a great life? Through trials and through troubles, God has helped you, and he can do the same for anybody listening out there. But also, if you are going through trials and maybe there's something and you can't tell anybody else, maybe you feel alone, that nobody cares, remember the verse that Darren got, 1 Peter 5, or chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Thank you.
What a remarkable and an amazing testimony. And I don't think anybody who has been listening tonight cannot be challenged by what you've heard. And the change that the Lord makes in a life is real. The change that the Lord made in Darren's life is real. And you've seen that. You've heard how his life has been changed. He lived for the world. He lived for the things of this world. But when Jesus came in, his life was made anew. And you know, that's the wonderful thing about the gospel. We're not here to tell you some story, some fairy tale. We're here to tell you reality. The Lord Jesus Christ can change your life. Maybe you've had issues like Darren had. Might have been gambling. Maybe it's drink. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe there are other issues in your life and you've been struggling with them and you've tried everything else. We would urge you tonight, turn to Jesus Christ. He can change your life. He can save your life. I want to thank Darren and I want to thank Daphne for being here tonight. It's been a real thrill. It really has been to hear this wonderful testimony. Despite all the difficulties that Darren has in his life, yet what a challenge his life is to we who have all our faculties, all our abilities. Are we as bright for the Lord as Darren Bailey is? As we bring this broadcast to a close this evening, I want to leave with you one verse of Scripture. It's a verse of invitation. It's a gospel invitation. And I want you to listen to these words. I want you to stay with us now for the closing moments of this broadcast. And I want you to listen very carefully. I'm not speaking tonight, this is the Lord speaking. Even through Darren and through Daphne, it was the Lord speaking. And maybe tonight you're in your home and the Lord has been troubling you, you're concerned. Well, then you need to listen. Listen to these wonderful words in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1 and the verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1 and the verse 18. It says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here was an invitation. Here was the gospel presented to a people. I want you to see that the people who were addressed here. Who was the people? Who were the people that were being addressed and spoken to? I want you to see that there were a rebellious people. In verse number 2, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 2, it says that they have rebelled against me. In verse number 3, it says, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. You see, this gospel invitation was addressed to a people who had rebelled against God, who wanted nothing to do with God. And maybe this evening you've tuned into this broadcast and you haven't tuned in by accident. You've tuned in for a purpose. God has you listening tonight. And maybe you've been rejecting the Lord. For all those years of Darren's life, he wanted the things of this world. He thought the things of this world brought contentment. But he realized they didn't. And maybe this evening you're listening and you're rejecting the Lord. Rejected him all your life. You'd rather have the things of this world than the things of God. And yet tonight to you, this gospel invitation is extended. Come. They were a rebellious people. But I want you to see something else about these folks that were being addressed. They were a religious people. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10 onwards, we have a list of all the various ceremonies and the offerings that they brought. Verse 11, it says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and delight not in the blood of bulls, bullocks, and lambs, and he-goats." You see, here were a people who were very religious. They went and came to the place of worship. They went through all the ceremonies. They went through all the rituals. As far as they were concerned, they ticked all the boxes. But they were far from God. You see, maybe tonight you're not openly rebellious. You're not openly in the things of this world. You're not living your life openly in sin. But maybe tonight you've got around yourself this cloak of religion. And all you have tonight is a church. And all you're depending on tonight for heaven is a church. And one of the most remarkable things when you go to do door-to-door witnessing, and people will tell you, "I go to this church and I go to that church," and that's all they have. They're full of religion. Maybe tonight you have religion, but you don't have the Redeemer. You're full of creeds and confessions, but you don't have Christ. Well, tonight this is addressed to you. Rebellious people. Didn't want anything to do with God. They were religious people. They had their church, they had their ceremonies, but they didn't have salvation. Their life was empty. Their life was hopeless. And maybe that's speaking of you this evening. Maybe this evening you've tuned into this broadcast and right now, the very end of January, with all that's going on at this time, you're right at a very low ebb. The darkness is all around you. And tonight you think that there is no hope. And you've tried this world. You've tried all the programs. You've tried everything. Tonight in the gospel there is hope. We have heard of that hope in the life of Darren Bailey. You've heard of the change that the gospel brings. The Lord could have turned away from Darren when he was in his sin, but the Lord was merciful. And tonight the Lord has been merciful to you. You may be religious. You may be rebellious. The invitation is offered to you in the gospel. I want us to see not only the people addressed, but I want you to see the proclamation announced. Look what it says in verse 18, come, come. You know, I love that word in the gospel. It's the greatest word that you'll ever hear. The greatest and sweetest gospel word is that little word, come. So many other religions will tell you to go away, make amends, try to do better, turn your life around, to try to live a better life and stop doing this and start doing this. Tonight the Lord in the gospel says to you, come. Just come the way you are. Come with all of your sin. Come with all of your rebellion. Come with all of your religion. Just come. Leave your sin behind. What does it mean to come? And I asked Darren and Daphne to come to the pulpit. What did they do? They left where they were seated to come here. And you know, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ issues that invitation to the sinner in the gospel to come, he is calling you to leave where you are. Leave your sin behind. Come to him. This proclamation, it's imperative. It's an invitation, but it's more than that as a command, as a call. Because there is no other way, you see, that your sins can be forgiven. There's no other way that you can be saved tonight but through Jesus Christ. Daphne read those words, those lovely words, John 3:16. In the very opening part of John 3, we read of a man by the name of Nicodemus, a man who was religious, religion up to his neck, a ruler of the Jews, an upright man, a moral man, and yet he inquired after the things of God, and the Lord very plainly, simply told him, your religion's not enough, you must be born again. You must be saved. And you see tonight in the gospel, you must be saved. You must get right with God, because there's no other way. Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Are you coming God's way tonight? Maybe you're going your way. So many, sadly, in our society, going their own way to heaven, making their own way, as they think, to heaven. But you know, tonight, while there are many, people think there are many ways, the Bible makes it clear that there's only one way, and that one way is through Jesus Christ. The wise man said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Well, you need tonight to come to Jesus Christ. Not only is it imperative, but it is also immediate. Look what the verse says. It says, come now. Come now. You'll never hear or read in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ telling anybody to go away, think about these things and come back and we'll discuss them. No, it's always in the here and now, because that's all you have. Dear unsaved one listening to this meeting tonight, you're not promised another minute, another hour, another day. That's why you need to come now. Behold, now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, there's danger, there's death and delay. Maybe you're saying tonight about the world, just give me a little longer. The world, it is so bright, and when I feel that I am dying, I'll get saved, but not tonight. You'll get saved in God's terms, and you'll get saved in God's time. His time is always now. The Lord says, come now. Leave your sin behind and come now. James asked the question, what is your life? What is your life? He answers the question, it's only as a vapor. Only as a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. You think of that vapor rising from the boiling pan or kettle. You see it, and then it's gone. That's what your life is like. Should you live to 90, 100 years, in the light of eternity, it's nothing. Life at best, the hymn writer says, it's very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf. It's like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Oh, sinner, heed the warning voice. Make the Lord your final choice. Come from darkness into light. Come, let Jesus make you right. Come and start for heaven tonight. Be in time. Will you be in time tonight? Will you come now? Ere you should cross over God's deadline. Maybe you've heard the call of God before. You know that you need to be saved. You know things are not right in your life. And you've put it off. The Lord Jesus Christ said, through his word, in his word, Genesis 6:3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. On Friday evening past, we had a night to remember and to reflect on the life of the Reverend W.P. Nicholson. And that text of Scripture, through the preaching of that text of Scripture, we heard people being saved, converted, and challenged about their life. My spirit shall not always strive. And listen tonight, God's spirit will not always strive. God is speaking to you tonight and convicting you, come tonight. Oh, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Many are passing into eternity. Many are dying, going into a lost eternity without Christ. Tonight you come before it is too late. The people addressed, they were hopeless people, they were religious people. There's the proclamation announced, it's to come. Come now. But as we close, I want you to see there's the pardon assured. Look at the pardon in verse 18. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be deep dyed, in other words, they shall be as white as snow. You think of the snow that we had last weekend, the purity of that snow just lying on the ground, pure white. And the Lord says, I'll take your sins, deep dyed sins, and I'll make them white as snow. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ forgives. The Lord Jesus Christ pardons. He says, I'll make you clean. I'll wash away your sin. Make you pure. Give you a new life. Lord Jesus Christ, he removes the stain of sin. Removes the stain of sin. Remember Jesus Christ on the cross, he cried out, finished. Redemption's plan had been complete. He made that full, complete, once for all, sacrifice for sin. And through his precious blood, the stain of sin can be removed. And writer asked the question, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, tonight, Jesus' blood still cleanses from sin. You don't need some program. You don't need some earthly remedy. You need Jesus Christ tonight. He will save you. His blood still avails for sin tonight. He removes the stain of sin. He removes the guilt of sin. Oh, maybe you think if I were to come to Jesus Christ, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how I've lived. Jesus Christ cleanses every sin completely. Removes the guilt of sin. Whenever you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, and there are times when the old devil will come and he'll try to throw up to you the guilt of your way you used to live. Praise God, every sin is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Every sin past, every sin present, every sin future. Paul, the apostle, could write and say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see, this evening, tonight, if you are listening to this meeting without Jesus Christ, there's something you need to realize. That the condemnation and the wrath of God abideth upon your head. He that believeth not, John says, is condemned already. And the wrath of God is abiding upon you. And you're only a heartbeat away from hell. You're only a step away from death. The wrath of God abides upon your head tonight. But the blood of Jesus Christ can remove that wrath, take away the guilt of sin and the stain of sin. And you'll be able to say with the hymn writer, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. He removes our sin so far from us, as far as the east is from the west. He casts our sin behind his back. You can't see what's behind your back. Praise God, whenever our sins are forgiven, God has forgotten them, never to be remembered against us, no more forever. Listen to those lovely words later on in the book of Isaiah chapter 44 and the verse 22. And the Lord says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. As a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. He says, for I have redeemed thee. You know, whenever you go up in a plane, not that you're really going up in too many planes at the minute, whenever you rise up above the clouds, you look out the window, and all you see are the clouds, the white clouds. You can't see what's below the clouds. You can't see the earth. You can't see what's on the ground. All you see is the clouds, the whiteness. That's what the Lord does with our sin. He removes the stain of sin, makes them as white as snow. You see, whenever God looks on that saved individual, when God looks on the one who has given his heart and life to Jesus Christ, when God looks on Darren Bailey tonight, he doesn't see how he used to live. He sees how he is now in Jesus Christ. Child of God, forgiven of all of his sin. Ready for heaven, assured of heaven. And that's what the Lord can do for you. Oh, tonight, hear these words. Listen to the words of the Savior tonight, speaking to you, come now. And you know the wonderful thing is, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Maybe you think tonight, if I were to come to Jesus Christ, he wouldn't save me. I've lived too bad a life. No, there's no sin the Lord Jesus Christ cannot save. There's no sin but the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse. It's the wonderful message of the gospel tonight. He gives a full salvation. He's not going to turn you away. He'll receive you, and he will save you, and he'll save you gladly. But as I close tonight, I want you to listen to one word of warning. We find it in verse 20 of Isaiah chapter 1. But if ye refuse, that is, if you refuse the invitation and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. You see, tonight you refuse the invitation. You refuse the time to come to Jesus Christ. And you pass over God's deadline and you go out into eternity lost and saved. The sword of God's wrath will rise up to condemn your soul, cast you down to a lost eternity. The sweetest word in the gospel tonight to your soul is come. But if you refuse, you reject. You go out to meet God. You stand before God at that judgment seat. He'll not say then, come. Because your opportunity then will be past. No hope then. No grace, no mercy then. Because that throne is not a throne of grace as it is now. It's a throne of judgment. And he will rise up to judge you. And the last word you'll hear from the lips of the Lord Almighty to those who refuse and rebel is depart. Depart. Apart from me, I never knew you. Wonder tonight how it is with your soul. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Do you have the joy that Darren Bailey has this evening? Do you have the peace, the happiness that your sins are covered? Oh, tonight, if you're still searching for that, then tonight, stop searching and find it alone in Jesus Christ. You can come to him tonight. You don't have to be in a church. You can come to Jesus Christ in your own home. You can cry unto him, Lord, save my soul. Forgive my sin. Give me a new life. Oh, tonight he'll do it. Cry unto the Lord for his forgiveness. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You can be pardoned tonight. He can give you a new life. He'll save you tonight. Come now. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. This is not my word. It's not the invitation that I'm giving. It's the invitation from the Lord. Come now. Let us reason together, and though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Will you come? Don't refuse and don't rebel anymore, but rather experience this amazing grace, great salvation of our great God. You've seen it tonight in the life of Darren Bailey. You've seen that it's real. May it be your experience tonight. May you turn from your sin and come to Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for what we've heard this evening of the change that you brought into Darren's life. Lord, we thank thee that you saved him from his life of sin. We thank the Lord that you turned his life around. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you continue to be with Darren in his life. Lord, we pray that you continue to use him. We thank the Lord for those dear family members who were so faithful in praying for him. Thank the Lord for his Auntie Jean tonight. We thank thee for his Auntie Daphne and Desi and Lord, all the family. And Lord, we pray that even tonight, perhaps some of the family who are listening in, still unsaved, Lord, that you would save them too. And Lord, for some others who are listening tonight, out of Christ, with no hope in this world, oh, may they turn to Jesus Christ tonight. May they heed that glorious invitation to come. And may they come now. May they experience the amazing grace of our amazing God. Lord, answer prayer, we pray. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen.